Welcome to the 11th episode of Sirens of Scream, the geek podcast that proves sometimes dead is better. My name is Sierra Houck, and I'm here with Melissa Megan.
Hello, hello!
And this week we are Jackie-less because she doesn't have electricity at her home right now because hurricanes are assholes. So she's going to skip this one. But
Hurricane Matthew is a jerk.
Yeah, fucking Matthew. but instead we have an Ellie Vaughn. Hi, Ellie!
Hi!
Ellie and I were besties from middle school and high school and into today. She's one of my favorite people, so I'm really excited that she's here.
Oh my goodness, I'm happy to be here.
And aww. There's a special reason why we brought Ellie, right?
Yeah, so in middle school and high school, we did a whole mess of theater, and we were especially good costume mistresses. so we did a lot of, like, backstage fixes and all that kind of stuff, so I felt like if anybody knows tips and tricks about costuming and makeup, it would be Ellie Vaughn.
So many paperclip hems.
Yeah, we're really good at, like, what do we have within, like, a 4-foot radius that could fix this rip? And so, Ellie, like we do with any of our guests, we have some questions to get to know you a little bit before we start into the meat of the episode.
Grill the guest.
If you were to be in a slasher movie, and you know the, like, regular character tropes, like Cabin in the Woods style, which character would you want to be? And then also, honestly, which character would you be?
I want to be the stoner dude. He just seemed to be having a grand old time. Well, thinking specifically Cabin in the Woods, yeah.
Yeah.
He's having a good day.
Frank Francis is pretty good. Well.
And then, honestly, with most of my friends, I'd probably be the slut who got killed first, if I'm
really?
Real. Out of all my friends.
I think if you were real, you'd be the mom of the group, like, making sure everybody's okay.
I'm, like, the gross hybrid of both. It depends on which group of friends I'm with, but I could swing either way.
That's good. Get a girl who can do both. The next question, I already know the answer to it. Did you ever have a ghostly encounter? Have you seen ghosts before?
Maybe not seen, but definitely think I may have smelled one.
Mm-hmm.
I went on a first date, which was a super awesome first date because I planned it, and it was a tour of the Portland, Oregon, Shanghai tunnels, mm-hmm. which were, like, a hot spot of human trafficking when Portland was actually, you know, a port city.
Yeah.
We've got lots of commerce. So we're going on the tour, and the tour group agreed to do the ghost tour. And he told the story of a woman who tried to turn Shanghaiers into the police. And of course, the police were paid off, and mm-hmm. they killed her by throwing her down an elevator shaft that we were right in front of. And the tour guide said that reportedly, a lot of people can still smell her perfume to this day. And we walked about 15 feet away from the elevator shaft, and I suddenly started smelling a really strong smell of lavender. And I asked the person I was with and the people around me if they smelled it, and no one else did. And it faded after we went into the next room. And at the end of the tour, I went up to the guide and asked, what did the woman's perfume smell like? And he asked me what I smelled, and I said lavender. And he said, yeah, that's what we get from people more than anything. Hmm. And there was, like, it was below, it's underground, and it's below a pizza joint and a bar. So I don't know what else I could have been.
There aren't any good smells coming from either of those places.
Yeah,
except for maybe pizza.
I mean, Portland is Portland, but I don't think lavender pizza is something that we do.
Yeah, that's true. The only suspect part of that story is that the guide didn't just say, oh yeah, we smell lavender.
Right.
He asked you which one you smelled.
Yeah.
But I don't know, that's still really cool. And I still really want to go to the tunnels sometime.
They're real spooky.
Yeah. And then our last question, which is conveniently very relevant to our topic today. What were you for Halloween last year?
Halloween last year, nothing specific, vaguely spooky. I always love to buy cosmetic contacts. And so I bought white out contacts And I think I was a vampire at a Malanga, which a tango event. And then...
Wait, was the tango event part of your costume or is that what you went to?
I went to a tango event.
Okay.
And was a vampire. Like, I think that was the coolest costume.
I want to know what a vampire looks like at a tango event.
Very, very dramatic in very, very tall shoes.
That's fair. That just reminded me that it took me forever, but I finally saw that movie, Things We Do in the Shadows.
Oh my God.
Which
finally.
Is so good. I didn't think about putting it in as a recommendation, but now I'm just adding that on as a recommendation because that was a really fun movie. And they're going to make a TV show about it, which is mm-hmm. super cool.
I need to see more werewolves, not swearwolves in my life. So I'm.
Yeah, me too.
Isn't that the best thing ever?
It's pretty fantastic.
So, speaking of recommendations, transitions. Melissa, what recommendations do you have for us this week?
Okay, I've got two pretty easy recommendations. One, I just came back from Disney, and Sierra and I took, like, back-to-back Disney trips, vacations. Mm-hmm. And my husband and I got one night out away from the kid and got to do a little date night thing. So we went and saw a movie, and we saw Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, which I thought was fantastic. You know, I was nervous because, as we've talked about in the show, Sierra, I think you're a Tim Burton fan, too, like me, and there's been some disappointments.
I've been burned before.
Yeah. We've been let down. But so I was nervous, but this I thought was really, really great. It stars Eva Green, who, as I've spoken about before, I really love her from Penny Dreadful. I've seen her in a few other, like, random parts here and there, but she's really great. And there is also Samuel L. Jackson in this, and Allison Janney, Rupert Everett, a whole bunch of fun people. It's based on a set of books, which I did not read the books, or book.
Yeah, I think they're, like, kind of young adult.
What did you say?
I read the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it?
I think I enjoyed it. It was a while ago. The stakes were felt kind of low or a little uneven, but otherwise it was a good read.
So I will say that there were a few times in this film that it reminded me, it kept reminding me of Beetlejuice a little bit.
Interesting.
Not in the kind of like reggae dinner scene sort of Beetlejuice. I think it reminded me of that because some of the creatures in here had a very like reptilian kind of really creepy and gross kind of feeling about them. There was also a lot of silliness between some of the characters, which reminded me of Beetlejuice. And there's a particular scene where they explain kind of, I don't want to spoil anything here, but they explain why the bad guys are so bad, kind of what they do, why these children are trying to escape from the bad guys. And it's just so morbid and fucked up. And it was great. To me, it was kind of everything that, like, I remember loving about Tim Burton. It had a lot of heart. It was very sweet and touching. And it was also very morbid and gross and creepy at the same time. With really, really cool creatures.
That's cool.
Yeah, and the acting really was goodness. Pretty great. So, yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, I really enjoyed it, and I think it's something that you can watch with, if you have kids that are into kind of creepy things, I think you could watch it with kids. The main scary creatures are definitely on the scarier side. So, mm-hmm. you know, you have to kind of, like, I might watch it with Max, but he might decide that those creatures are too scary and he'll just tell me that. But the little kids in the film and most of the characters are very charming and fun to watch.
That's cool. I feel like this movie maybe had a crummy preview because mm-hmm. I've seen the preview for it and I was not excited.
Oh, the trailer?
Yeah. It seems like maybe they just needed to show me some better monster shots, but it seems very kind of the way that his Alice in Wonderland adaptation was, like, yeah, that's pretty, but I don't really want to, like, watch it for 2 hours.
No, it felt unique. It felt like something unique again.
That's good.
Like, not something I've seen before. Even for Tim Burton, it didn't have all the kind of, like, classic Tim Burton, like, curly cues and iron things. Yeah, it was just kind of a straight up, like, fantasy slash, you know, creepy film.
Cool.
Yeah, and I found the characters all pretty, you know, interesting. Like, I would love to know more about them. I want to know more about these kids, and I want to kind of hear their stories. I found myself wanting to know, like, where they're all from and what they do. And so, yeah, I recommend that. My second recommendation is going to be really quick and easy, but with Halloween coming up, I was reminded today, my son, who is into creepy things, he's just under 4, and he likes to play game apps on a tablet. And I was reminded of one that, if anybody out there has little ones and you want to give them something fun to do for Halloween, there's an app called Tokaboo that Max really enjoys. And it's this really cute, there's a whole series of apps from this company called Tokaboka. And Tokaboo is this game where you get to play as a ghost. And you kind of like move your little ghost around inside the house. And you can hide your ghost behind curtains or under beds. And the whole point of the game is to hide your ghost before the person sees the ghost. Because if they see you before you hide, then they just kind of laugh at you. And they think you're funny. Yeah, it's really like the ghost gets sad. Like, but if you hide the ghost first and then you jump out at the person, then the person screams and runs out of the room. And you get to travel all around this house and scare all different characters that are walking around the house exploring. So it's really fun and cute. And it's, although it's about a ghost and it's a creepy game, it's not, you know, it's not scary at all. All the Toka apps are, I think the whole point of them is they're not educational apps. They're just apps that are meant to kind of just encourage like exploration type play. Just, you know, keep trying new things and doing new things and trying out different things that have different colors. The artwork is really graphic and adorable and cute. So yeah, Tokaboo for the little kids so they can have fun Halloween stuff too.
That sounds so much fun.
Sierra, what do you have?
Yeah, so one of my recommendations is something that isn't out yet, but I'm really excited about it. It's a new show that Dana Gould put together called Stand Against Evil. It's coming out on IFC. They're doing a kind of a preview of it on Halloween night on the 31st. And then they're doing a repeat of that first episode, and then I think a second episode on November 2nd. So you aren't stuck. If you have plans, you aren't going to miss it. It looks really cool. It seems like it's a lot of practical effects, which, as we've talked about, we super love. And I just really adore Dana Gould. I think he's a really cool comedian, and I've been listening to his podcast, The Dana Gould Hour, where he gets... It's not necessarily all about horror or all about movies or anything, but he dives into some kind of creepy things here and there and does segments about like going into the history of something like Sideshow Acts or Ed Wood or something like that, and gives you like a really in-depth overview of this like kind of creepy thing that you've maybe heard about but don't know a lot about. So I'm really excited about his show. And then the other show that I want to talk about this week, are you guys watching the new American Horror Story?
I haven't watched it yet, no.
Ellie, have you started it?
I only just started watching Hotel, but Lady Gaga's really good.
Yeah, okay, so the new American Horror Story, the format, everybody talk about they don't like the format. It's done so that it's like one of those, I didn't know my house was haunted kind of shows where it's like interviewing somebody and then it's also reenacting the events. Which is, I really like that format because I really like dumb ghost shows. But everybody I've talked to doesn't like it because they're like, I hate those dumb ghost shows. So I guess it kind of depends on where you stand on that kind of thing. But I feel like with all American Horror Story seasons, it starts out really strong and then it kind of goes off the rails and they try to do too many things. And so I'm really excited about this one because it hasn't gotten to that point yet. So I'm still really into it. So I was going to ask you guys if you had any, if you just could tell if it was going to like get bad, like all the other ones have, or if it's still really good. But, since you guys haven't seen it, there's not a whole lot.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I have so much, like, we have so many, we will watch it, but we have so many things backed up, like, Westworld just
premiered. Oh yeah. I haven't started that yet.
Yeah, we've got it lined up. We'll probably watch it tonight, actually, if we finish this early enough, because we're super excited about that. But there's so many things lined up. I'm hoping it works out better than the last season.
Yeah, so I feel like it kind of started with, like, Asylum kind of started this precedent where, like, they start going one direction and then it kind of has a big change halfway through. Spoilers about Asylum, like there's aliens there for some reason and it's completely unnecessary. So I'm really worried that that's going to happen with this season, which is maybe why I'm a little apprehensive about like considering this a recommendation. But the subject matter of this season is really interesting to me because it's about like, it's about the history of Roanoke, but it's also about like ghost stories and like weird cults in the woods, which is all creates a lot of really interesting visuals. I'm enjoying it so far, though. It's only like 4 episodes in.
I think sometimes it feels like the writers kind of write themselves into a corner on that show. They get so many things going on, and then as it nears the end, it's like, oh crap, we have to finish all these stories, and then they just start making crazy shit happen to wrap all the stories up.
Mm-hmm. I think, I agree. I feel like they don't really start it with, like, when they start, they don't know where they're going. Like, they don't know what the result is, so it starts out with so many cool ideas, and then it doesn't play through very well.
Well, we can be optimistic about it, right?
Yeah, and I think there's been a lot of people talking about, like, how this season is supposed to connect all the other seasons, which I don't know if that's just also hopeful, wishful thinking, or if that's true. I don't know if all of the other seasons have all of the foresight to be connected the way people want it to be, but that also makes me very curious and makes me want to keep watching it to see if there is some kind of big connection.
There have been overarching themes over the last few seasons. I haven't been watching it religiously, but even I've noticed some they got some good old common themes between random looking seasons.
Yeah, it seems like it's kind of reoccurring, like through time we can keep having these mysteries kind of vibe.
Does anybody know if these are the same writers through all these series, or have they changed writers around?
I have no idea.
I know Ryan Murphy created it, but I'm not sure if he's got his hands on it still.
I don't know. I think that maybe this is something that I need to learn more about and I can report back later.
Wait, Cuba Gooding Jr. is in it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Is Evan Peters in this one?
Not yet. I don't know if he is.
He's always one of my favorites, so I hope so. Him and Sarah Paulson.
Mm-hmm. Anyways.
I think the show has suffered a bit losing Jessica Lange as well.
Yeah, I think so. Which maybe if they turn it around and make it really exciting again, she'll come back to it, but
yeah.
I feel like that's kind of what they're trying to do without really looking like they're trying too hard. A little bit. but I'm watching it every week, so they're doing something right. Ellie Vaughn, what recommendations do you have for us?
So the first one, I have 3 recommendations from 3 different medias, and the first one is called Limetown, and it's a podcast. It's got 1 season so far. It's about this journalist, sort of in the Serial fashion, except it's fiction, so everything can work out a little bit better for her. But it's about this woman who starts investigating the mystery that is Limetown, where it was this compound started by a very rich, mysterious entrepreneur type, filled with scientists and their families from all different, the whole genre of science. And suddenly, they're completely self-contained when suddenly, like, a 911 call comes through of this woman absolutely panicked. And when emergency services show up, private security is blocking them from entering the compound. And there's 48 hours of just no movement. And then suddenly security clears away and people can walk into Limetown and it's deserted. Every single occupant is gone. And it becomes this huge mystery of like, what the hell happened? And so as the podcast progresses, she learns more about what the town was for, what they were researching and developing. And it gets really dark and twisted and mysterious. And it ends with like a crazy cliffhanger. The season finale is my favorite episode. It's been a really long time. I'm still waiting for season 2. So be warned, if you listen to it, you're gonna have to sit tight for a little bit longer. It doesn't look like there's been much movement on making season 2 come out. But there's enough closure that like you're okay. But it's really good.
Cool.
Yeah. And then the second one is a YouTuber, and he's a British makeup artist called Pink Stylists, like Pink the color, stylist the profession. Mm-hmm. And he does the full spectrum, not so much with the glam, like Michelle Phan makeup sort of stuff, but he did recently a Marie Antoinette horror drag makeup look.
Cool.
Which was real fun. And he does like really gruesome characters off of the subreddit for horror stories. He also did a smiley one.
See a Doctor Who in here? Doctor Who villain?
Yeah, he does the silence.
Yep.
And so he also has a miniseries where, like, he'll just go on a Meagle as whatever disgusting character he decided to be that week.
Oh, that's really fun.
And yeah, it's good for a laugh. And he sells his bald caps and walks you through the makeup step by step. And I think he's self-taught, which is even cooler.
Mm-hmm. These are very impressive. I'm looking at his images now. This is really impressive.
He's crazy. And then my last one is a book, and it's called Asleep by Molly Caldwell Crosby. And I actually wrote a paper on it in high school.
I remember that.
Yep. And it's a book. It's written by a reporter as compared to a journalist, so you need to take it with a grain of salt. But during the influenza outbreak, early 1900s, another epidemic was happening called the encephalitis lethargica, or like the Sleeping Beauty disease, where people would just fall asleep, and they could sleep for a few days or a few weeks or even years. And they wake up with crazy different personalities and all sorts of maladies. And it's historical fiction about what kind of happened with this sub epidemic while America was dealing with the giant influenza outbreak. And so it's it's just really creepy to think about. So it's not technically horror, but it's like some good old American, this shit really happened horror.
That is super creepy to think you could just fall asleep and then wake up a completely different person. Maybe yeah. That's more terrifying for the people around you.
It's super freaky, and once you know about it, it pops up. Like it popped up by name in Neil Gaiman's Sandman in the first series.
Oh.
It's like you learn a new word and suddenly you hear about it. You hear it 10 mm-hmm. times the next day. So those are my recommendations. Hopefully someone enjoys them, because I think they're all quite good.
Thank you, Ellie.
I agree. Thank you.
I think that's the first time we've had a YouTuber recommended on the show.
Uh-huh. I'm glad, because we've recommended the No Sleep Reddit stream, whatever, of all those stories. So I'm glad that it connects back to that, too. So if you've gotten into No Sleep, you can go and, like, see the personifications of that. That's so cool.
Yeah, I think he does Smiling Jack off of No Sleep, which is...
Mm-hmm. Well, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk more about makeup and costumings and all of that good stuff. Halloween is just 3 weeks away now as we're recording this, and by the time that you listen to it, it'll be even closer. So, are you ready? Have you decked out your house in fake cobwebs, or is the monster mash firmly stuck in your head yet? Do you know what you're gonna be for Halloween yet? We've all had those years where we wait until the last minute, and for some of us, that's every single year. Melissa just raised her hand. And I feel like that hardly ever works out well. So if you are one of those people who does not have a plan yet, this episode is for you. We are here to help you. We're going to talk about some of the most iconic costumes in film and movies, and some of our favorite costumers from film and television. And we're going to talk about some tips and tricks of what will help you pull your costume together. And we're going to help you find some inspiration for your costumes. I realized halfway through that I stopped reading my script, but that's okay. I think I got the gist across. I was like, oh, I spent all that time writing all those cute words, and then just completely skipped it. That's fine. So what are you guys going to be for Halloween this year? That's my first question. Do you know yet, Melissa?
Yeah, we've decided, which is largely out of, we don't have a lot of time left because I raised my hand. And yeah, we usually start planning it like the week after Halloween and we talk about it for about a month and then we forget about it until October comes
Gotta
again.
Write that down. Gotta write that down.
And then it's like, oh crap, what do we have time to do? So yeah, we've settled on Adventure Time this year.
Yay! Yeah.
And part of that is also because my 3-year-old, we try to involve him a lot in Halloween, and we keep asking him, and he changes his mind like every 2 weeks about what we're going to do for Halloween. So we finally just said, all right, we're doing Adventure Time because I know I can jump on Amazon and order costumes. So
yeah, that's pretty easy. Hot Topic has made that pretty easy.
I know. It's going to be it's gonna be such a like lame-o, like quick, you know, quick costume, but it's still going to be cute, and it's a lot, it was a lot easier than old Han Solo, which was one of Max's other choices, so.
And that's adorable.
He literally means old wrinkly Han Solo, not like the old Han Solo.
With like, just like short old Han Solo with like a lightsaber hilt sticking out of him.
I guess. Spoilers. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to turn a 3-year-old into an old man. I haven't figured that out yet, so.
Well, I'm sure that some of our recommendations could help you.
He also wanted to be the Ice King, and we've now convinced him to just to be Finn. So we're like, can we please not do a beard, really? So, yeah, he's going to be Finn. I'm going to be Marceline, and then Ryan's going to be Jake.
Cool. Yay!
Yeah.
That'll be really cute. I'm excited for pictures of that. Also, my costume's kind of almost related, because I'm also going to be a character from a cartoon. I'm going to be Dipper Pines. From Gravity Falls this year. Yeah. I think we recommended Gravity Falls before. And if I haven't, I feel really bad about myself.
I think you and Jackie have both talked about it.
Okay, good. Because it's really good. It's a show about these two twins, Dipper and Mabel, who go to visit their great uncle Stan in Gravity Falls, Oregon, which is this old, like, kind of weird backwater town where lots of creepy things happen. And then they have to figure out the mystery of this town. And there's a lot more going on than you think that there is.
And it's based on a real place in Oregon that's actually near where Sierra and I grew up, called the Oregon Vortex. Where
I didn't know it was specifically based off of that.
Wait, that's a real place?
Yeah, no, the Oregon Vortex. It's
I forget that there's just cool stuff. Like that was just that's there.
I went there when I was a kid, and I just remember shit like bottles rolling uphill inexplicitly, and you didn't hear birds or bugs there was a solid mile circumference around the vortex where you just did not hear animals. That's and weird. There's a picture and photographic evidence of, in one photo, me, who is forever a hobbit, and my dad standing on opposite ends of a field-ish, looks flat, and I look so much shorter than I actually am, and my dad looks like about 6'5", and he's about 5'5", and then we switched positions, and my 8-year-old self was the same size as my dad, and I cannot explain.
I don't know how that works.
Cannot explain it to you, but the vortex is creepy. But yeah, it was, the Oregon Vortex was in part its inspiration, and then also a little bit, I heard about, like, the piers on the East Coast. Don't know where that came from. That feels a little bit more Steven Universe, but the vortex is definitely in there.
Interesting. That's cool.
Sounds like some kind of like alternative reality, Oregon.
There's just a hole in physics in Oregon.
Ellie, we talked about this earlier, so I feel weird asking you like this, but what are you going to be for Halloween?
What a great question, Sierra. I, true to form, bought some contact lenses, and this year I bought full whiteout contact lenses that, like, cover the whole deal instead of leaving you your iris or your pupil. And I tried them on last night and learned that you cannot see through them at all.
Nope.
So you're being blind for Halloween this year?
No, I'm keeping one in its little bottle, and I'll squirrel it away for next year. But this year I saw a really great video or picture on Pinterest of someone who painted half of their face and collarbone area to be like space and then having a crazy white eye. So I'm thinking about that. If not, Broken Doll or like bulging, like eye cracked and the color is leaking out are both viable. Ooh,
color leaking out is terrifying. Especially because any kind of horror movie where like somebody like sticks their thumbs in people's eyes is like especially awful. So it feels like that almost like your whole eyeball is like dripping out of your face. Yeah.
It's I like to be a little bit gross if I can get away with it.
This is the moment when Jackie's gonna be glad that she's not on this show because we know how much she hates eyeball horror.
That's true. So Ellie Vaughn, I know, has a very real fear of people grabbing her ankles or any kind of, like, ankle pain. Like, walking up the staircase and then something grabs your hand through the stairs. Evil Dead has that scene where the girl gets a pencil in her Achilles tendon, which I know that Ellie Vaughn does not like at all because we watched that movie together and it was great not episode. Fun. Yeah. I wanted to talk about the Deadites from Evil Dead as one of my, like, favorite horror movie costumes and makeup. And it's funny that you chose the whiteout lenses because they had to wear those shitty lenses that, like, blinded them and made their eyes, like, dry out. And they just, like, couldn't see the whole, like, filming. So, like, if you wanted to be a Deadite and just, like, feel their pain, you could totally do that. I don't know why you would want to, but you could.
It's the same thing with The Exorcist. The poor girl who had to wear those contacts just and to lead her around. She couldn't see much. Like, yeah, those contacts, they're pretty brutal by anyone's story. Yeah.
So speaking of like famous costumes, and what are some of your guys' favorite iconic, like, if you could be anything for Halloween and you had no budget restraints, you could do whatever you want. It doesn't matter how gross or, like, you have to be in that costume all fucking night and then you're going to be cold and uncomfortable. Like, none of that matters. What would you guys be for Halloween? What would be your choice?
I've always wanted to be a Cenobite.
Yes, that would be so cool.
I watched that movie on your guys' recommendation for the first time. And yeah, no, that is some A+ 10 out of 10 monster design right the hell there.
Are we talking about Hellraiser?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would want to do the teeth chattering, the chatterer Cenobite, but I can never figure out how the hell to make Cenobite makeup, so.
Just a lot of, like, fish hooks, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know. We've talked about it quite a few times. I really would like to do it. And then there's, let's see, there's the chatterer, and then there's also the one that's got, like, he's got, like, wires coming out of his face, and his throat is opened up.
Mm-hmm.
With this kind of big frame.
Oh, that's the... Yeah, isn't that the...
Might be a she. Yeah, it might be a she. It's kind of hard to tell because they're all bald and...
Yeah.
White and weird looking.
Gender is an illusion.
Yeah.
Also.
Yeah. And I think one of my favorite movie monster makeups ever that just sticks with me is Tim Curry's Demon in Legend.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that really old film Legend with Tom Cruise in it. Tim Curry plays this demon he's got this bright red full body makeup with these like gigantic black like twisted horns coming off of his head and just like popping muscles all over the place and these like sinewy veins in his face and these big teeth and big long nails. And that makeup is just so fucking impressive, especially for the time that it came out. Mm-hmm. I just remember being just completely enchanted with his face and like how much facial expression he was still able to make with these just like huge amount of crazy makeup and giant horns on his head. He's just kind of like bull human demon.
That's true. What's the Marvel movie that just came out that had my boy Oscar Isaac in it?
Yeah, X-Men Apocalypse.
Yeah, where didn't they do CG instead of makeup, or they did like crazy, like too much makeup where it was just impossible to like see any kind of facial expression or even like tell who he was. So yeah, it is always very, very impressive when you can have like crazy prosthetics on and still like see emotion.
Yeah.
It's just Tim Curry being amazing, basically, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you guys haven't seen Legend, this old film legend and you haven't seen that makeup yet, you need to check it out. Cause it's, to me, he's still one of the, like, he's got this, like Tim Curry does. He has this, this great mix of really nasty evilness, but also this kind of like erotic charm about him. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, he's kind of sexy, but he's gross and scary. And
see, also Dr. Frankenfurter.
Right, I know. It's like, I don't know how it works that out, but somehow it works. I remember being very confused as a teenager. Like, why is this demon so hot? Like this?
I would also recommend people be Tim Curry's Pennywise, but in light of all this clown sightings, maybe that's not the safest choice right now. Clowns are kind of on blast right now.
That is definitely still, to this day, I think, the best clown makeup I've ever seen.
I agree. It captures, like, what everybody's idea of what a clown is. It does that really well.
Ellie, what are some of your favorite
makeup
maniacs?
Like, going real hard, kind of anything Del Toro's ever touched.
Well, sure.
Yep.
Like, the Fawn from Pan's Labyrinth and is super classic.
And the eye monster.
Yeah. And the eye monster. Yep.
Baby eating eye monster.
Yep.
But also, though I remember not being like a huge fan of the movie or it doing super well, the Angel of Death in Hellboy 2 mm-hmm. has stuck out as one of the coolest creatures. And he's practical. It's Doug Jones in there. Because when is it not Doug Jones? Never is the short answer.
and this, talking about Abe Sapien?
What?
Was he Abe Sapien?
He was both. He was Abe Sapien and the Angel.
Oh.
But yeah, he's this giant seven foot tall angel with like no eyes on his face, but they're on his wings. And it's amazing. That's like going full ham makeup right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw that movie when it came out in theaters and then I haven't rewatched it ever. And I think I should probably rewatch it because I remember not hating it, but it also wasn't that great, which is probably why nobody ever talks about it anymore.
Yeah. It wasn't super standout as a comic book movie, but Del Toro touched it. So of course all of the makeup and creature design is amazing because something about him and the people he gathers around him creates just the sickest shit ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm re-looking at pictures and he's got this like beautiful chest plate and yeah, it's awesome.
Before we move on, the one other thing that I want to mention is anything Colleen Atwood touches. She's my favorite costumer. She's done like all of the Tim Burton movies. So like Edward Scissorhands' outfit was Colleen Atwood. I think Beetlejuice was Colleen. She's done like a billion things and everything she does is always really on point. So if you need ideas, I would just Google Colleen Atwood costumes and like get ideas from that because she's amazing.
I think I also want to just point out Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
Because practical makeup is so rare now.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the makeup for Guardians of the Galaxy was really impressive. They apparently did a huge amount of work to create Dax and all of the like crazy veiny tattoo things all over his body.
The like scarification almost kind of thing.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And I really love Ronan, but he didn't have a huge amount of like facial makeup, but I loved his costuming.
Mm-hmm.
He just kind of had that like strange oil slick makeup. But yeah, there's so many great aliens and great makeup in Guardians of the Galaxy. And there's another one coming, so I can't wait to see what happens next.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. I'm glad that they let James Gunn kind of just do whatever he wants with that, in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure he has to, like, get into fights with executives about it, but it still feels very James Gunn-ian.
I would love to see the, like, they made all these amazing head forms and stuff for those characters, for all the different aliens, and I would love to see those up close.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, I'm really bad at remembering names of, like, artists, makeup artists, and designers for these kind of things, but one thing I've learned a lot about over the past few years is zombie makeup because of The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't recall what we were watching recently. We were watching something and I remember saying to my husband that I just, like, ever since I've gotten used to seeing Greg Nicotero's zombie work on The Walking Dead, I see zombies in other places now and I just feel disappointed by them. Like, why don't all zombies look like those zombies?
Mm-hmm.
just gotten spoiled by that amazing work that he does.
I talked about this a little bit on the last episode, but the haunted house for The Walking Dead at this year's Halloween Horror Nights was so much fun because I think the zombies were so well done. Because they had a lot to work off of, obviously, from everything that he's done for it. And so that house was so much fun to just walk through it and, like, see all the little scenes unfold. And then also just have these terrifying zombies jumping out at you.
I'm just looking. Oh, sorry. I'm just looking at his Wikipedia right now, and I had no idea, like, the amount of stuff that he's worked on. I really did, like, I didn't know anything about him really until The Walking Dead. Hostel, The Hills Have Eyes 2, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like.
Those are all good ones for makeup, too.
I know, right? The Chronicles of Narnia?
Yep.
Wait, were there zombies in that?
You just weren't watching the right version.
Oh, he worked on Kill Bill, too.
Nice.
My God, this man's got, like, a huge filmography. Okay. I'll stop there.
Another just sort of shout out for makeup artists, because some of it, I think it can be difficult to find like one great name to shout out to because they can be such team efforts.
Yeah, for sure.
Like someone makes the design, but for one person to be responsible for the entire fabrication of a single monster is just not heard of. If you look at special effects team credits on any film, especially ones with really heavy makeup, there's, you know, 20 to 60 people involved getting people to look the way they look. But someone who has stood out in their field and is a woman, which is also super cool, is V. Neal, who I learned about specifically because she's been a judge on Face Off forever.
That's where I know her name from.
Yeah, but she worked on The Hunger Games. She worked on Pirates. She just has a really impressive spectrum of work. And yeah, she is one of the greats currently. Also super fun. I had an adventure. You can keep this in the podcast or not. I got locked out on my balcony two nights ago at like midnight, because the pipe we used to keep the glass door fell down and locked me out there. And so I had to shimmy off my second floor balcony, which I've learned I can do, which is good to know. walked over to my neighbor's house and was sitting with him using his iPad trying to talk to my roommate. And he told me someone died in my apartment.
What?
Yep. And I asked, was it like their own volition or did someone kill them? And he said it was complicated and then did not give me any more answers.
So he murdered them.
Yeah. So, so he murdered them.
Well, that's good to know.
But I actually like have felt that this apartment is kind of spooky. Like doors are randomly shut, probably the wind, but also possibly ghosts.
Yeah, that's good. We should do some like EVP sessions next time.
Oh, super down there.
Yeah,
super down.
Anyways, okay, that goes good. The ghost went away because we're talking about it. So speaking of this is a whole episode. It's just me trying really hard to make the transition sound natural. speaking of a really good woman, female, makeup artist, let's talk about women's costumes in horror, because I feel like as three ladies, we'd be remiss to kind of, skip over this. I think we've all gone through that frustration of, oh, Halloween's coming around and I want to be this really cool costume, but it's not super easy for me to find the like screen to real life translation of it. There's only like the sexy version of it. Yep. And I don't want to be cold and uncomfortable all night. so what are you guys' opinions? Do you think that like the horror genre lends itself to more over sexualizing of women in their costuming, or do you think it's, you know, we have a whole array where there's a lot of female villains and female monsters, or you know, we could, you know, gender swap it pretty easily. Do you think it's getting better over time? Like, you know, we can get good Ghostbuster jumpsuits now instead of just like really short skirt ones.
I feel really kind of back and forth about this topic because it bothers me when I go shopping for a Halloween costume and there's just racks and racks and racks of sexy this and sexy that, you know. Sexy plumbers and sexy everything.
like, why?
I know. And, you know, and it's annoying because you end up just having to go shop through the men's costumes to find mm-hmm. something that is reasonable. But that being said, this also reminds me a little bit of, like, a cosplay discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Where some women like to kind of do, you know, they want to be like sexy Thor, they want to be sexy whatever, they want to kind of gender bend the costumes and make them sexy. And I think that it is annoying and frustrating that all these costumes are sold for women to be so ultra sexualized. But I also feel like we need to be really careful to not criticize mm-hmm. women who maybe want to do a sexy version of something, right? Because that's part of being feminist, I think, is learning how to be open to letting women do whatever their version of something is and not be judgmental about that.
Totally. My main issue with it is, like, you should be able to dress up however you want.
For sure.
If you're comfortable doing it, go for it. But you're a mother. I'm sure you feel this way. And also, I have two little sisters, who are still pretty young, and so it really bothers me to see only costumes that are very obviously gendered and sexualized for little girls. Right. That's the only thing that I'm mad about, I guess.
Right.
But I think that if you want to dress as something scary and spooky for Halloween rather than just something cute or fun, I think you have so many more options as far as, like, what you can do as a female.
Right. We're going to follow this up with some helpful tips on how to develop Halloween costumes, cool Halloween mm-hmm. costumes, so we're not all stuck in that aisle of sexy costumes trying to figure out what we can wear. And I think that I get more annoyed, I guess, from seeing the costumes, like, you know, where you see, like, especially for kids, you see Captain America costume for a little girl and it's pink and sparkly and covered in,
and it's a dress, yeah,
frills, right? Like, can they just have, like, a regular Captain America costume, and then you can, you know, have a Captain America skirt or something for the little girls who want to do the full-on sparkle princess thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if horror costumes, I think they're going to make sexy costumes out of everything. I don't think it matters if it's horror or not, you know. I think it's just a lot easier to do gender neutral costumes in the horror realm, maybe, because it's just disgusting. Mm-hmm. Everything's just, like, disgusting, just scary monsters. Right. Just put blood on it. It's like, just put a bird on it. Just put, put blood on it.
Oh, that's going to be our first t-shirt design.
Just put blood on it.
I feel the first possibilities.
Ellie, what's your opinion on this as a theater costume person?
I think Halloween can just get really frustrating because it really exemplifies the market bias towards what is sold to men and what is sold to women, and how men, it seems like the costumes are more for, like, their own satisfaction to be more faithful to the film, while women's are more to be
sexy.
Yeah, to be, like, to fill weird fantasies of whatever whoever designed them in a very heteronormative society. And it's frustrating to see it happen to little kids. In movies specifically, I don't think horror is as guilty as anything else, at least not with costume design. I think horror is guilty of some other stuff, but yeah. I think costuming in horror isn't horror's biggest transgression against women.
Yeah, I feel like we could get into a discussion of violence against women in horror movies and whether
that's
good or not. But that's not the episode.
That's not.
Can we, before we go into, like, all the all the tips and stuff, can we talk about, I'm really anxious to hear about some of the, like, favorite costumes that you gals have done for yourselves before.
Oh, so this is kind of related. When I was in sixth grade, I was super into, like, I'm rebelling against these, like, Walmart costumes, and I'm gonna do what I want to do. And so I went as a victim of the Salem witch trials post-mortem, which I'm very surprised the Ashland school systems didn't, like, send me home, because I went with, like, a homemade noose around my neck and, like, bruises around my throat.
Oh,
and, like, in, like, a period dress and, like, all, like, white face with big
on
black
fire. Were you on fire?
I wasn't on fire. I was just hung.
Just hung.
Yeah, just hang. That's all. That was maybe one of my proudest moments on Halloween. Because I was like, sticking it to the man.
I'm not buying your sexy witch costume.
Yeah, I'm going to be a real witch.
I think my most original one is actually pretty similar. I heard about a Who concert in 94 or 97. I can't quite remember. But they had festival seating in an indoor theater, which is just, don't. Why? And of course, there's this huge queue to get in the door. And when the doors opened, people bustled on in and like seven people got trampled.
Oh my
and
God.
I,
like Friday.
Yeah, but for the Who. And so I wore a punk, like my best little, like middle school punk outfit. This was the year I dyed my hair red for the first time and have not gone back, and put a giant red boot print across my chest and gave myself a bunch of ugly looking bruises and wrote like the Who Live 19 whatever on my shirt.
I love the kind of costumes where you have to explain it for 5 minutes for people to get it.
So you were
like, yeah, like
you were like a Who audience casualty.
Yep. And like one person got it that night, and they were like 40 walking their kids house to house, and they thought I was the coolest person ever.
Yeah.
Otherwise, no one got it. But I was quite proud of myself.
You can also tell that your dad owns a music store when you're that kid.
Yeah.
Melissa, do you have any favorites?
I think my favorite was actually just a couple of years ago when I did a team costume with Ryan. One of our favorite movies, both of us of all time, is Shaun of the Dead. And we did, Shaun and Liz together. And that was really fun. I had to get a little blonde wig because I've never been blonde in my life. No. No, but it was fun, and we had to do a little bit of shopping around to hunt down a cricket bat, which was a little tricky, but we had lots of fun with that, and we got to just like make a bunch of fake blood, and then we just went out in the backyard and just like threw blood on each other.
Awesome.
So it was really fun to put together, and it was fun to be that, because when we went out that night, you could just kind of like, some people just didn't pay any attention to us, and then other people, what you see the recognition come over their face is like, oh, I know who they are.
That's awesome.
It's one of those kind of like almost incognito costumes where you just look like a person carrying a stick around until people figure out what you are.
Yep.
Jackie also sent us, because she couldn't be on the episode, but she emailed us some of her own costumes. And I gotta say, my favorite thing that I've heard all day is that she was Scully and Drew, Mulder. Her partner, was Mulder, but Skull-y. So she had like Skull face paint on, and he was Mulder, so he was all moldy.
Oh my God.
Oh, it's a good character, and it's also good puns. I think that's so funny. So we're definitely going to put pictures of this on social media, obviously, because it's amazing.
We're going to collect. I'm going to make a little gallery of some of our favorite costumes to include in the show notes for this.
Last year, I was Mulder, and my boyfriend Tucker was Scully, because that's just more of our personalities, is I really want to believe, and he's all just like, no, aliens are not real. So we were gender swapped, which was pretty fun.
I also had a lot of fun one time doing Alice from Resident Evil.
Nice.
But I did, I went with Resident Evil Extinction, which is by far not the best movie. Mm-hmm. But I had to choose it because in upstate New York, it's pretty cold around Halloween. So all the other costumes were like very minimal clothing. So yeah, I went with Extinction because I was able to wear this like long duster jacket over everything. But I actually had her haircut at the time. She had this kind of like short, like wavy, messy haircut with big bangs and stuff. And I just had that haircut. So it was really fun to make like gun holsters and try to put together fake guns, and she wears all these straps everywhere and like weird tights. And
yeah.
It was a very complex costume with a lot of straps. And I remember going to a really big Halloween costume where every time I had to go to the bathroom, I had to unhook all of these clips and straps off of me so I could get my pants down. It was a very long process trying to go pee in the bathroom.
You gotta time that out, right? Like, oh, I just went pee and I just don't want to do it again.
There's like it's kind of like Lara Croft, you know, there's like the leg straps and then there's the waist straps and
But I think at least with that costume, if people don't get it, it still looks really cool too. Like there's enough detail there.
Just kind of look like this like desert post-apocalyptic warrior chick.
Yeah, I think that's a good like thing to aim for, is at least you look cool so people won't necessarily call you out on it or ask you a bunch of questions.
Yeah, that's, you know, when we talk about art tips and stuff, that's kind of my part of my thing that I want to offer for my Halloween costume tips is how to make at-home costumes. Video game characters work really well for that because they usually actually have normal clothing.
Hashtag closet cosplay.
Yeah.
I feel like it's Halloween and you aren't something scary, you're kind of wasting Halloween. Do you guys feel that same way?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm being... Well, neither one of us are being scary things this year.
That's true.
You failed your own theory. I'm breaking my own rules.
But, like, at least I feel like Dipper Pines is about, like, exploring mystery. And I am going to carry around a book with all these, like, drawings of monsters in it. So I feel like it needs to be, like, a little bit related to something scary. Which is why I think it's relevant to talk about it on our podcast. Because I feel like, yeah, we could talk about what's like a cute couple's costume that's going to win you a costume contest because it's a funny pun. You could be salt and pepper. But that's not what we're totally interested in. So with that preamble, I think maybe a good place to start is in, like, you know, the conversation of what, you know, building your own costume, creating your own character, or creating a character that's existing is realizing that there are some really tried and true tropes in horror, and the costuming is kind of repeated over and over again. So, like, if in, like, Cabin in the Woods, for example, you have the, like, classic tropes of, like, the stoner kid, the jock, the virgin, the slut, and I think that's repeated over and over again, so you can, like, kind of go off of that if you're interested and still have a lot of options. And then you also have a lot of color and symbolism in horror movies, you know, like the virgin is always in white. You can be very dramatic and like dressing in all black. And so you're obviously a villain. So there's like a lot of places to start there. Do you guys have any examples or am I just rambling?
I think always a safe place to start is, if you're really scrambling, you can go with like your three classics, which is which would be like witch, zombie, vampire. Mm-hmm. And then you can pick one of those and then pick a representation of one of those that either you can reasonably do or you really love. Because you say zombie and there's
so many different ways you can
do
zombie.
So many iterations. Or like witch, are you doing like
pointy hat?
Yeah, are you doing like classic Wizard of Oz witch, or do you want to do the crazy witch from the new witch movie that uses V's instead of W's for some reason? And then zombie anything is literally fair game. So I think
speaking of Jackie too, we also have, she has so many good pictures of her doing, because she did the zombie walk so much. So she has a lot of good zombie costumes. I feel like if anybody has a good fake blood recipe, it's going to be Jackie.
Jackie's definitely the resident zombie expert in costuming.
The one fake blood recipe that I've used because someone needed to like be able to hold it in their mouth for a while was corn syrup and Kool-Aid.
Okay, so not dye, which is nice, so it doesn't turn their mouth red forever.
Not forever, but for a while. And then, yeah, you can add a little extra food dye because it does come, it can be a little bit pink. But this was during Anatomy of Grey and a character was, it was like consumption or something similar. So she needed to like cough red on stage.
Yeah.
It's also tastes pretty delicious. I remember walking around and people kept stealing my blood because it tasted good. So there's one quick blood recipe.
One year I tried to just use beet juice and that does not work. I tried to stain some clothes with beet juice and it just turned pink. So if you want to dye some clothes with like blood stains, you got to use more than just that.
I want to say, I think when we made our Shaun of the Dead blood, we might have used some chocolate syrup in there.
That's what they used in Psycho.
Yeah, which I think it gives it like kind of a thicker, like mucusy looking texture.
And it's a little bit dried too.
Yeah. So it sticks to things. Yep. Yeah. I don't know. I don't, strangely, as much as I love horror, I feel like for me, Halloween doesn't have to be a scary costume all the time. I just think of it as more like a fantasy time. Like, this is a time when I can be something, some character that, you know, normally would, I don't know, that would feel strange doing. Although, you know, I give a lot of credit to cosplayers because if I had the time and the energy and the, income to, and the craftiness to do that, I think it would be so much fun to do costumes more frequently, and for different times of the year. And, my trick has always been to, I don't know about you guys, but I've had a habit over the years, definitely, of doing characters that I have to explain to people.
Yep.
And, and sometimes I do that and then I think, okay, nobody's going to know what this is. Why am I doing this? But then I feel like, you know what? Halloween is for me. It's not for anybody else. It's for me to just have fun and be somebody that I want to be. So if people don't know what it is, then screw them.
Yeah. Let them Google it.
Yeah, I've done so many video game characters that's often the case. You know, it's like people don't understand who it is unless you play a lot of games. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. And it's also like I mentioned earlier, that's kind of my trick too, is like if I can't come up with something, I can usually come up with a video game character that the basis of the costume is kind of clothing that I can find around the house, mm-hmm. and then like add props or tear it up or put holes in something or add some makeup to create the costume off of actual clothing. So I don't have to hunt down a real costume, but I've also become a bit of a pro at taking these stupid sexy costumes and like building them into something that is more substantial.
Mm-hmm. I also just like to go to, like, not last year, but the year before, I had no idea what I wanted to do. So I just went to a thrift store and like, I was like, okay, I'm going to make my decision before I leave this building, and went through a rack and like found a striped dress and I was Beetlejuice. So if you have an afternoon and you're like, I'm making a decision right now, that's the way to do it.
I also always stash your stuff from Halloween, because
mm-hmm.
you can reuse a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. I think between the two of you, I sit kind of in the middle where like, I really want it to, I like to be spooky, but it's also like a fantasy or like kind of the doors,
a little more whimsical.
Yeah, or like just more like the doors between like here and the underside or the other world or whatever have kind of lowered. So I like being like low key spooky, just like your inside spook has come out.
Yeah.
which is why I like the contact so much, because it's
It kind of makes people do a double take.
Yeah, it makes people do a double take. They don't, you also realize how little people look at your face in customer service, because I wore them at my customer service job last year. Very fun. But I enjoy a really subtle, spooky Halloween where people are just slightly unnerved. And if you can make the small investment that is for the contacts, more than half the work is done for you.
That's fair. I think maybe the moral of the story of this whole conversation is just, let's not put as much pressure as maybe I'm putting on myself. Like, it's more about just, like, have fun and be comfortable and, like, do what you want to do and don't worry if people know it or not.
It's definitely, yeah, having fun is definitely the main point, right?
Yeah.
And yeah.
I know for me, like, I can pinpoint different particularly fun Halloweens that I've had through my lifetime, and they all happened at kind of different phases in my life. When I did one time, I stayed home when I was like, I think 16 or 17, and I had just moved to Florida and I didn't really have any friends. So I was like, what am I going to do on Halloween? And everybody left and I stayed home, and I just put this like long black dress on and a collar, and I just dressed up as a vampire, and I got these little blood capsules, and I stayed home and passed out candy. And every time I opened the door, I'd bite into a little blood capsule. So it was just like dripping out of my mouth fresh. And I just had a really fun time just turning all the lights off and scaring the crap out of all the kids in the neighborhood. And I was by myself all night, but I had a blast, you know. And then doing the Resident Evil costume was like when I was, you know, going to a big Halloween party with my husband before we got together. And just going out and like partying all night and doing like the drunk wild Halloween, mm-hmm. you know. And now Halloween is all about letting my 3-year-old decide what we're being for Halloween.
Yep.
And we've kind of become, I thought he would be my accessory, but it's the other way around. We've become his accessory. So we just let him pick what we're going to be, and then we build off of his ideas. So it's, you know, it's all about having fun, right? And that kind of can be whatever it is from year to year, depending on the kind of mood you're in.
Yeah, I completely agree. If you are a Halloween person, then Halloween is your day to let your spook out and do it however the heck you want it. and just make yourself happy.
Mm-hmm. So I have a whole list. There's like a billion people on Instagram who are doing amazing things with makeup. And I think instead of just reading out a bunch of handles that nobody's going to remember, we'll just put it all in the show notes. But there's so much going on Instagram and on Tumblr too, of like people who are self-taught, who will put up tutorials about it, who are doing not necessarily character makeup or like, you know, a character from a TV show or from a movie, but they're making up their own characters, or it's, you know, it's a creepy doll, or it's a vampire, or it's a skeleton, but they do it in such an imaginative and creative way that you could totally steal that idea and look amazing on Halloween. So I think for anybody who's listening to this and doesn't really know what to do, you should totally go through these Instagrams for some ideas.
I'll put those in the show notes. I do love that you mentioned Instructables.
Yes, I love Instructables. That's a great place to go if you're looking for like prop building ideas, or if you are like 20% crafty but you like need some help figuring out how things work, or like what are all the supplies I'm gonna need. Instructables.com, they have a ton of it's all, I think, pretty much user created, so people who've made this themselves, they take pictures, they write out the instructions for you, they tell you all the things you're gonna need, they give you good tips of like, be careful right here because this is where I messed up. And right now they have a ton of stuff for Halloween because it's October. So that's a good place to go to.
I discovered it one time when I had big aspirations of doing Portal for Halloween.
Oh,
and
nice.
I was looking for a way to build a portal gun, and I kind of obsessed over the page for a while, and then I just gave up. I was like, I just can't.
There's definitely varying levels of expertise.
Yeah.
Like some of these people are on a whole other level that
I'm like 5% crafty. I can glue things together. That's the extent of my craftiness.
Mm-hmm. And so some of them, I feel like Pinterest is also a good place, but maybe Pinterest is a little bit basic level.
Yeah.
And Instructables is maybe like next step. So if you're looking for something and you're not necessarily finding it on your normal sources, Instructables is a good place to look. And we mentioned it earlier, the show Face Off on Sci-Fi. That's a good place for, especially if I watch that show and I'm like, ooh, I could totally do all that stuff. I can make those molds and like, I can sculpt the things and then pour it together. I just need to like buy all this stuff, which I'm probably never going to do. But that's a good place if you're like, I want tips of how to make a facial prosthetic, or I want painting tips or things like that. That's a super good show to watch, or just get inspired.
The other thing about Face Off is they also do body paint episodes, which can be a little bit more accessible if you don't have, you know,
years of experience.
Yeah. And giant molds and hours and hours. So body paint is also really fair. You can do a lot. I've done giant full face skeleton makeup with brown matte eyeshadow, eyeliner, pencil, and liquid eyeliner. Mm-hmm. So yeah, watch the body paint episodes, get a little creative, and then, you can do a lot with very little makeup.
Yeah, just buy some eyeliner pencils that you aren't like sad if you ruin them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Wet n Wild. It's real cheap.
Yep. Oh yeah. Any other resources people should go to?
I don't think so. We're gonna I'm gonna list all of those makeup artists in our show notes too. This will be like a seriously link heavy galleries, and lots of links for different things. We did get a couple of ideas from our listeners.
Oh, cool.
We want to share those. We asked our listeners to tell us about some of their favorite costumes that they've done over the years. At Shiny Baby B said, she was especially proud of a homemade Sally and the Mayor costumes from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Nice.
That she put together, especially the Sally makeup, which I thought another one that like I've wanted to do for so many years, and then every time I look at it I just think, oh, it's so intimidating. And then we also got, from our friends at The Witch Files. I didn't realize that Sabrina, one of the hosts of The Witch Files, she's at Archetypal. She apparently does costumes, designed some costumes, and they sent us a link for a Doctor Strange costume by someone named Malin Khan on Instagram, which is a really great one too.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks very, very realistic. It's a really good, like, sewn, layered, really intricate costume.
I'm also just now reading, rereading through Jackie's notes that she gave to us. And I'm just going to read them because they're amazing. Costuming for Halloween cons, etc. is no longer your mom wrapping a cardboard box in aluminum foil before you head out as a little robot with a colander on your head. With the influx of internet beauty gurus, the age of DIY makeup artists, and most influentially, the boom of convention and cosplay culture, making your own super badass costumes is easier and more fun than ever. It used to be that you'd have to track down specialty shops that would sell those elusive Mehron or Ben Nye products in liquid latex, especially outside of the Halloween season. But now you can get your own thermoplastic sheets and pellets on Amazon to create intricate lightweight armor. You can sculpt and cast your own latex mask. You can get LED light kits to make detailed and portable lighting displays and take your get up to the next level. And if you don't know how, the current DIY culture behind Instructables, Instagram, Tumblr, DeviantArt, Pinterest, Reddit, YouTube, etc. has more than got you covered. Man, I wish Jackie was here. She's so good at this stuff. She says, go out on a limb and try those building supplies, like buy a heat gun, get a portable glue gun, and really get crafty. I think that might be a little intimidating for some people, but she's all about it. She also had one note going back to previously in the conversation about sexy everything female costumes. She says, I truly hate that this is a thing in today's Halloween celebrations. I'm sure y'all will have some wonderfully poignant things to say on it, though, which I hope we did. her costume this year is going to be Lich from Adventure Time,
yeah,
which is going to be super terrifying and badass, which... Now I'm super excited that she can just join in on the Megan clan in the Adventure Time characters. And that's like, no way you can make that sexy unless you're super into undead kings. I think the message she wants to get out here in this episode, if I will try to channel my inner Jackie, is just like, don't shy away from the thing that you want to be. Don't feel like you need to like dumb it down or sexify it or anything. Like, you should just be the terrifying lich. Or you should just be the, like, that character that inspired you when you were a kid and, like, nobody knows about it, but who cares? Just be the thing you want to be.
I admit that I chose Marceline because I think I have her entire wardrobe, so.
Easy. Just gotta do the little bite marks on the neck and you're good.
And somehow find a giant axe-shaped base to carry around.
Yeah. Cool. Do we have anything else we want to leave our listeners with? I feel like that was a lot of information and a lot of, like, places you should go to find the experts talking about it instead of us.
I just want to remind everybody that you should be watching our Twitter and our Facebook right now, because we are continuing our celebration of 31 Days of Horror throughout the entire month by releasing each one of our choices every single day on our social media sites. So you can be reminded every day of which movie we think you should be watching, which is very important because our opinion means everything.
Yep, that's right. And we are at Sirens of Scream on Tumblr and Twitter and Facebook. Ellie Vaughn, is there places online that you want people to follow you?
I'm not that cool. I mean, I'm
I like your Tumblr,
but I have not internet presence. Yeah, I'm on Instagram. It's pictures of my cat,
who's very cute,
who is flippin' adorable and named after a Game of Thrones character, but no, y'all can just hear me here.
Yay. Melissa, where do you want people to follow you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LissaPunch, and you can also email us at sos@meganerdmedia.com.
Yes,
send us your pictures of costumes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, please do. I think we will do a whole gallery of it. We could definitely do that on Facebook and on MegaNerd. I want to do like a top Instagram makeup artist and put that on Mega Nerd.
Yeah, if you guys send us tweet us or Facebook your costume pictures for us, then we will share those with the rest of our followers and listeners and celebrate your spookiness.
Yep. And if you need any help figuring out what you should be, just tweet at us and we'll give you a completely, like, we'll give you things that you should do. We'll help you.
Tweet Jackie. She's the only one that knows how to help.
Jackie will know. We'll help you brainstorm if you need help. Or if you need help, like, finding a way to make that prop or something, well, we got you.
Let's all pray to the ghostly gods up there that Jackie gets
her electricity
and her internet back, because you know that all us nerds can't live without internet for too long.
Yeah, that's the real scary part
right?
of this whole episode, is the idea of no internet. Well, I'm at Sierra Hauk online, and Jackie is Jackie the Robot, so... Go follow us, and we'll have more stuff for you later on. And everybody, just be safe and have fun this Halloween. I don't want to say this.